This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Dennis tweets it out before the show. I retweet it. I may or may not vote. Sometimes I do, sometimes I do not. What should we talk about at 1 o'clock? So 919-860-5326 if you want to hit on any of these issues. Brooks Koepka, 30%. Kyrie Irving, nobody cares.
Yep.
Stanley Cup Finals Game 3, the big winner.
Yes.
48%. NBA Draft, we're going to talk NBA Draft later. NBA Draft, of course, is Thursday night. All right. So let's get to Stanley Cup Finals Game 3. And if you want to chime in on these or any other issue, now's your chance. 919-860-5326.
Let's do that hockey.
Here's what puzzles me. It's almost as though the rights holder, ESPN, has not watched any hockey during the playoffs.
Other than the Rangers?
Like, they, first of all, we just went through this with the Rangers and the Lightning. We just, the exact same thing. The Rangers outclassed the Lightning in New York, taking a 2-0 series lead, and they were treating the Lightning as though they were the dead animal left in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Just waiting for, like, the wagon to come and scrape it off the tarmac and haul it into the woods. Game 3, Rangers-Lightning series, was 2-0 Rangers, middle of the second period. And they were still going, oh my gosh, it's going to end like this. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Lightning got one goal, ended up winning the game basically at the buzzer. It was just inside of a minute when Andrei Palat scored off a feed from Nikita Kucherov. They win that game. They ended up winning and won four straight.
Yeah.
And won the series. So now, the Avalanche, who admittedly might be the best team anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
They're legit great.
I mean, they're top to bottom, their roster, in terms of everybody but the goaltender, their roster is better than Tampa's. Now, it might not be heads and shoulders better, and they are missing Nazem Kadri and Andrei Burakovsky, I don't believe, played in Game 3. But the Lightning are also banged up. No Braden Point. And now they have other injuries. They've had guys who are playing hurt, but Nikita Kucherov and Nick Paul both got hurt during the game. Kucherov didn't finish the game. Paul did. So they've each got issues health-wise. But we all understand that Colorado's great. And they might be the best team in the NHL, and they've been building to this anyway. But they treated the Lightning as though, again, they were the dead animal. They were roadkill. Last night, they just don't look good. So was it a scoreless? Wasn't a scoreless first period. I think it was
1-1.
1-1. I forget what the score was after one. And no, it was 2-1. Lightning. Colorado took a 1-0 lead and a power play goal. Then the Lightning scored twice to make it 2-1 after one. And they go, well, you know, Tampa hasn't been that good. They got to play a lot better than this. I'm like, what are you people watching?
Yeah.
Like, Colorado has basically been built on the power play, right? And that was their offense. I mean, they weren't terrible, but it was a relatively even first period. I thought Tampa was a little bit better. And still, these guys are like, well, you know, Tampa's going to, I don't know if they have enough to do this. I'm like, you people did not watch the last series. And you had it.
Exactly. That's the thing. They're all over the Rangers and how much they love them. They just completely neglected the team that just spanked them at, you know, games 3 through 6.
So, honestly, I believe, and I said this before the series, and I saw that you jumped on the Lightning at plus 450.
I did.
450 to win the series.
I did.
And I just beat up the microphone.
Yeah.
had I been here, I would have done it too.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, for the third time, I would have hammered the Lightning to win the series.
Yeah.
I've already got him at plus 160 and plus 210, or 215, I think. So I've already got him at plus 3-something. So I get it, but I just don't understand.
After, I mean, granted, they got crushed in game 2. absolutely destroyed in game two. But I was like
7-0.
Yeah.
But who cares? It's one game.
Exactly. It's one game.
Doesn't matter.
But they wrote them off like they were just like this scrub team that didn't belong there. I'm like, no, they've won the cup twice in a row.
Andre Vasilevsky's really struggled in the playoffs. I'm like, once they were down.
Yeah.
I mean, look, first of all, he did allow a bad goal in game one.
Yeah.
Right? He allowed the second goal was a bad goal. The others were really weren't his fault. The second goal in game one was a bad goal. Like, I don't know what he was supposed to do. He was under siege in game two. The team in front of him stunk. Okay. Like, he's a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all had a bad day. But guess what?
It's not a robot.
It was one game. I thought to myself, okay, one bad game, easily to move on from, because you can sit there and look and say, hey, guys, we played like crap. Let's step it up. We know what we got to do. Let's make these adjustments and go out there and play our game. And let's just quit stinking out here. And that's all they had to do. And guess what? They win it 6-2. They chase Kemper. Now I'm seeing like writing of, well, it's Colorado. Like, what are they going to do in goal now? Like, his goaltending is a big question mark now. Like, no, the dude just got a shutout in game two. Yeah, he got chased in game three, but now I'm like, now that's the narrative we're going with.
Not sure it was Darcy Kemper's fault.
It wasn't.
So
it wasn't.
Again, I don't want to slam ESPN here, but it's as though you ever see the movie 50 First Dates?
Oh yeah.
Okay, that's my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
It's a great.
I'm just not kidding. Mm-hmm. I love the premise of it, and I get the feeling that ESPN is treating all of these hockey games like this is the first time we've ever seen the sport.
That's a great comparison.
Oh my gosh, Andre Vasilevsky, he's no good. Like, oh wait, Darcy Kemper's going to be the starting goaltender unless he's not healthy.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I don't think Kemper's great.
He's their best option.
But he is their best option.
Yeah.
So, I think he'd have to be hurt. Now he was hurt. So maybe he's not 100%.
Yeah.
But he backed up in the last game of the Edmonton series, so he was ready to come back, at least if they had to draw back in.
And they've had 2 weeks off.
Right. My guess is that Darcy Kemper will be the goaltender. I just don't understand what ESPN is watching. The whole crew. I mean, from Messier to Chelios to Levy, they are treating every game like this is the end of the earth. I'll be surprised if we tune in tomorrow and they haven't written off Colorado.
Yeah.
I'll be surprised.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
They are teaching me how to behave.
Uh-huh.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. These are two. I still think Colorado is probably the better team. I chose Tampa. I chose Tampa to win because I'm not sure the Rangers weren't also the better team. Tampa knows how to do this. Colorado hasn't yet figured it out. They might talent their way to winning a Stanley Cup. And maybe that talent will teach them something. But I promise you this. I mean, again, I could be wrong here, and I wouldn't be that surprised. I think Tampa makes it really hard on Colorado's offense in game four. And all of a sudden, all the pressure is on the Avalanche in game five. Because you go back home, and if you don't think Tampa can win at Ball Arena, by the way, those mason jars, that's what the Ball Arena is. Oh, those are great mason jars.
Yeah.
If you don't think Tampa can win there, you ain't paying attention. They can win anywhere because he's still the best goalie on earth, Andre Vasilevsky. And they still know how to shut it down better than any team in the league. So I believe that Tampa will ultimately win the Stanley Cup, but Colorado's got an awesome team. But I just wish ESPN knew what the hell they were watching. It's just, it's been disappointing. I don't want to blame individuals, although I guess I did cite three names.
Yeah.
But they deserved it. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But I see.
You can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda. Thrilled to be joined by the one and only, the North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year, who I might see on Monday, Joe Person of The Athletic. Are you going Monday?
I am going Sunday and Monday, man.
Ooh.
I am. I'm ready to paint the town in Winston-Salem, buddy.
Well, I'll definitely see you Monday afternoon. Joe Person is joining us at Joseph Person on Twitter. He's more formal that way. All right, we just had the back-to-back OTAs and then mini camps. I never know which is which. They're all the same to me. What jumped out at you the most, and I think I know just from the first thing you wrote about on The Athletic the other day, but just what jumped out at you the most?
Remind me, what did I write about?
Oh, you
wrote,
yesterday you led with Terrace Marshall.
Oh, yeah, okay. So,
you write too much if you don't even remember.
No. Here's the thing. It was an interesting spring breakdown for the Panthers because the OTAs, we kind of like, you know, I think those of us in the media, or at least those of us who cover the league, sort of get hyped up about the mandatory minicamp because
right.
it's mandatory and everyone's got to show up or they get fined. But the way Rule structured it, the OTA practices were really kind of more intense. I mean, as intense as you can get with, you know, shorts and helmets and non-contact. Mm-hmm. And so, and I was, you know, we were out there one day a week for each of those OTA weeks as well. But as you saw or read, that one mini camp came around, there were like at least about a dozen or so of their most established players who got those 3 days off. which, you know, and I think Rule's point of view was we did our hard work. Like,
yep.
I want to see what some of these younger guys can do that we might be counting on in year three under Rule. And so that's why a guy like Terrace Marshall, who really did not get to show much of anything last year after being being drafted in the second round. Oh, by the way, while LSU teammate Jamar Chase became the NFL rookie, the offensive rookie of the year. But Terrace had a very good spring. I mean, I hate to do it, but you almost attach a caveat to all this because nobody was getting tackled mm-hmm. and so on. The defense was only doing so much, but they need guys like him to step up. There were a couple guys in the secondary, that might be needed if Dante Jackson pulls a hamstring or J.C. Horn has another injury. And those guys were Keith Taylor, who was a fifth-round pick in 21, played a little bit as a rookie. And then the guy that really caught my eye in that same article you referred to, Chris Westry, mm-hmm. really didn't write about him all of OTAs. He's only been here a couple months. But, man, in the last practice of minicamp when they were in the stadium, they were doing red zone drills, and he's 6'4", so it's sort of easy to see a 6'4" corner.
They stick out,
really,
yeah.
And especially, man, like he's good. Like that length shows up big in the red zone when you're trying to lob up a ball in the corner of the end zone to Terrace Marshall, for
yep.
instance. So those two guys, among the young guys, certainly caught my eye.
Joe Person from The Athletic is joining us here in the Adam Gold Show. I think it was Football Outsiders that wrote, this has got to be about a month ago now, the area of your, I'll just use your team, that still concerns you or that still should concern you. And they said for the Panthers, it was the interior of the offensive line. My own feeling is that I think they have done a very good job of addressing that, and I'm not as concerned about that. My answer was, man, I'm concerned about the receiving core, not just the wide receivers, because I'm not a Robbie Anderson fan. DJ Moore is great, but I don't love the tight ends, and I'm worried that whoever the quarterback is, there just aren't going to be enough weapons. Terrace Marshall could go a long way to answering that. I know you also wrote about the tight end position. Has there been progress made there?
Yeah, baby steps. Before Joe Brady was fired, he really pounded the table, banged the table for a former LSU tight end, Stephen Sullivan, who was not a big-time player at LSU. I mean, he was played in the shadow of, mm-hmm. of Randy Moss's son down there, Thaddeus Moss. But at any rate, he did some night. I think he spent a year. He was a low-round draft pick of Seattle when Scott Fitterer was there, incidentally, and came here last year, was pretty much like on the practice squad, may have snuck in a game late in the year. But he is 6'5", and he's fast. Like his combine 40 was 4.6. That's pretty good for, you know, a 6'5" guy. Mm-hmm. And there were times this spring when they would line up Stephen Sullivan and Tommy Tremble, another tight end. They would flex those guys out wide and put them in more of a wideout type spot. But I'll tell you, man, if I'm answering that question completely honestly about what position group still concerns you, I think you got to start at the quarterback spot. Like, I understand what you're saying about the wideouts,
right.
And I'm with you. It is, if Robbie Anderson plays like he did last year, that this is a very ordinary group of wideouts.
Well, I don't think they were ever going to be able to answer that question about the quarterback in the affirmative with the group that they have. So
true.
I would. It doesn't. I mean,
that was a given. That was right. The free space on the board that you weren't even. You wanted. You. I understand. I see how you do. You take it to a higher level of think.
Always.
You're not doing group think. You're doing Adam think.
That's how we win awards, Joe. That's how these things happen. Joe Person from The Athletic is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. All right. So you brought us to quarterback. I waited. We got like 8 minutes in here. There's still talk about Baker Mayfield. Am I crazy to think that, yes, he's better than Sam, but he's not getting you all the way there, so why bother?
That's the question, right? Like, David Tepper, when they fired, I mean, this goes back to the end of the Teddy Bridgewater season. They still had a game or two left. Tepper did a big Zoom at the time because they fired Marty Herney.
Mm-hmm.
And during that Zoom, you'll remember, Tepper said, look, until you get a guy you think is going a quarterback that's going to lead you to the Super Bowl and win Super Bowls for you, you're still looking. If you're a good team or you're a team, you're looking. And I'm with you. Like, is Baker Mayfield an upgrade over Sam Darnold? Yes. Yes, he is. Is he the guy that reaches the bar that Tepper set about Super Bowl winning quarterback? No, I don't think he is. I think his ceiling is, you know, maybe 9 or 10 wins,
mm-hmm.
win a game in the playoffs and then go sit down and watch the other teams play it out. So here's what I think. I think Matt Rhule and Scott Fitterer, but especially Rhule, who begins this year on the hot seat, I think they're pushing for an upgrade at the quarterback position. I mean, Rhule has not even tried to shy away from it. Like, throughout OTAs, I kept waiting for him to say, yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. No, like, anytime someone brought up the possibility of bringing in a guy from the outside, he said, you know, we said we wanted to upgrade at that position, so yeah, that is still a possibility. And I think it remains a possibility up to and into training camp. And they did that. Scott Fitterer did this sort of game of chicken with Andrew Berry that began the night of the draft, or the first night of the draft. Sorry, I guess it was the second night of the draft,
right.
Whatever, during the draft. You know, and neither side, and I think this is where Tepper comes. I think Tepper's like, to your point, Adam, I think he's like, yeah, this guy's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get him cheap, let's do it. But if not, we're not breaking the bank. We've already spent $18.8 million.
Right.
for one of the guys from the class of 2018 quarterback class in Sam Darnold, we're not spending another 18.8 on another guy. So I think Tepper, and it may be that the Browns finally get there and say, you know what, we would rather get something from, you know, for Baker rather than get nothing. And these two guys, these two sides come to an agreement. But it feels like it's going to be now that this mini camp has passed. Like that was, I was told and I reported that that was kind of a soft deadline for the Panthers, that they liked the idea of getting Baker. If it's going to, if they're going to do it, get him in here, get him in the playbook, get him to start throwing to Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. But now that that's passed, I mean, one, a lot of these guys in the front office and coaching staffs get gone for the next month.
Mm-hmm.
And two, there's just no real deadline now that that's going to provide an impetus, I think, until we get much closer to training camp.
They should just trade Baker Mayfield for Sam Darnold if the Browns are going to eat the contract anyway. Just do that. I did love when Matt Rhule said about a week ago that if we had a game tomorrow, Sam Darnold would be our starting quarterback. Like that was, I mean, I just couldn't laugh harder at that.
If we played in the USFL, if we were in the USFL and playing in June, he's our starting quarterback.
Oh, he's definitely a quarterback that could lead the Michigan Panthers to a title, Joe. He could definitely do that. I don't even know who the Michigan Panthers have at quarterback. I don't know that I could name a quarterback.
I will raise my hand and say I am dating myself, but I grew up in the era of the first USFL franchise and former Penn Stater Chuck Fusina leading the Philadelphia Stars. Sam Mills, mm-hmm. a part of that Philadelphia. But I have not yet watched a minute of this latest iteration of it, and maybe shame on me as
a
sports writer.
First of all, you look much younger. Much too young to have been a USFL fan. My family had season tickets to the New Jersey Generals. So
nice.
I was there with Herschel Walker and Brian Sipe and then Doug Flutie. I was there.
Donald Trump.
Oh, yes, of course. He was the second owner of the New Jersey Generals and killed the league, as those of us who are fans of the U. I was a USFL fan.
I like that we are out here hyping the original USFL.
Well, think about all the stars. I don't even know why we're going down this rabbit hole, but think about all the stars that went to the USFL. Reggie White was, I think, a Memphis Showboat. Jim Kelly with the Houston
Steve
Gamblers. That was a legitimately good league.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I can't speak on the current league because I have invested zero time or interest in it. And, you know, I just get to this time of year, probably like a lot of us, and I'm at my backyard grill. I'm at my kids' baseball games. And when July 26 rolls around, I'm at Wofford, and then it's football season again. But right now, it's not football season.
July 26 is very close. All right, final thing, and then we'll let you go. Joe Person from The Athletic, the North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year. He will be honored all day Sunday and all day Monday by everybody. All right, Brady Christensen has looked good at left tackle. What are the chances that he's at left tackle for the opener and Ike Ekwonu is not?
You know, it's a non-zero chance. I mean, which is a little surprising because I think when they drafted Ike, I think we all were like, okay, there's your left tackle for the next 12 years. And I think that is still the plan. But Matt Rhule, you know, sometimes he doesn't come right out and say it, but some of the things he was saying about Ike, it sounded to me like they want to make sure he shows up in better shape than maybe he showed up to OTAs in. And they get it. Look, he was on the, you know, after the combine, a lot of these guys are kind of coasting into night of the draft mode. And Ike went to Vegas and all that. I don't think he was in terrible shape, but I thought it was interesting that Rhule made a point to mention Ike showing up, as I said, to Spartanburg. Ready to go and in shape. So I got the impression, yes. Did Brady Christensen have a good spring? Absolutely. And is Brady Christian going to start somewhere along the offensive line? It sure sounds like it to me, either left guard or left tackle. I just wonder if it was like, you know what, let's let Icky kind of learn the playbook. Mm-hmm. We're not going to feed him to the wolves here at OTAs. And, you know, it'll be – listen, it's going to be – I still think Icky's going to be a good player in this league, and I think you agree with me for mm-hmm. a long time. That doesn't mean he's not going to have a bunch and maybe a lot of struggles as a rookie. This is a big boy football league against, I mean, even in training camp when you're going against Brian Burns, like, welcome to the NFL, kid. This is one of the fastest edge rushers in the league. Then they go to New England for joint practices. I think that's going to be a great test and a great opportunity for Icky to take the next step. So it's a good problem to have if for some reason you think, he's not quite there. We don't want to ruin his confidence. Let's kick him inside for the first few weeks or months. Then do it. I mean, I don't think that it should be seen as like any damning, like, you know, like now Jordan Gross started his career at right tackle, for instance.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm still very high on Icky Ekwonu, and frankly, again, 3 weeks in shorts and helmets did nothing to change my mind.
Joe Person, at Joseph Person on Twitter, beat reporter for the Carolina Panthers, for The Athletic, North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year. I'll see you Monday, my friend. I appreciate your time always. Enjoy the Little League Baseball, but I'll see you Monday.
Look forward to it, and congrats to you too, buddy.
Thank you very much, Joe Person from The Athletic. Always cool to catch up. All right, Dennis, we put a 2 extra on the board. Let's do it.
And now your halftime entertainment.
All right. A few things to touch on here to start off.
Careful where you touch.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'll wash my hands.
Not sure why I said that.
I'll wash my hands. It's okay. So we know Stranger Things has been a very, very popular television show on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot of North Carolina ties with the Duffer brothers being from North Carolina. A lot of references in the show. Well, Stranger Things released their trailer for Volume 2 of Season 4. So it's the final 2 episodes of the current season are set to drop on July the 1st. First 7 episodes are already out on Netflix. So it's episodes 8 and 9. The run times on these are kind of long, so the runtimes for season 4 in general for each episode were about an hour, 15, hour, 20 minutes, somewhere in that range. So longer episodes. Episode 8 is 1 hour 25 minutes, and I believe episode 9 is about 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why we're having that long pause between. But they left us on a big cliffhanger, so the trailer is out there for those who want to watch trailers, who enjoy those things. Can go out there and watch it to kind of get you ready for the final 2 episodes of the current season of Stranger Things.
Excellent.
Speaking of Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown is in early and kind of informal talks with Lucasfilms to possibly be part of the Star Wars franchise.
Lucasfilms, very
yes.
nice.
So, again, she's the character that plays Elle or Eleven, the main character of the show.
Elle is 50.
Well, L is short for 11.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Long for me to explain for you right now. But she's in talks again with Lucasfilms to do something along with Disney, whether it's a series on Disney Plus or potentially doing something in a movie-wise. Not entirely sure, but she's a very strong up-and-coming actress who I think is now right around the age of 20, so she's got a long mm-hmm. career ahead of her, for sure. All right, some other movie news here. Bob's Burgers, the movie, is actually going to be available on July 12th on both Hulu and HBO Max.
Right.
But the entire catalog for Bob's Burgers, the TV show, is available on Hulu. So my guess is that the movie is going to be available there longer than it will be on HBO Max. But if you didn't get a chance to see the movie in theater, you can watch it on Hulu Plus, on Hulu and right. HBO Max on July 12th. I didn't watch the movie. I'm not going to lie. The show I've watched off and on, there's just too much other stuff for me to catch on to something else. Right. But I know people that really enjoyed the movie and really enjoy the show. I don't know if you've watched it or not.
I have not watched it. I don't. Why would you even ask?
I don't know. You might watch something.
We're still talking about Bob's Burgers?
Yes.
Like, I've never even been to a Bob's Burgers.
Okay, that's fine. I don't know if their burgers are any good or not. But
no idea.
You and I talked about this a little bit last week with Brian Murphy at WREL Sports.
Yeah.
You and I actually spoke about it earlier. So the state legislator today is reviewing the bills regarding legalizing sports gambling here in the state of North Carolina. So the House Judiciary 1 Committee will hear, again, two sports gambling bills today. The bills work in tandem to legalize sports wagering in the state. There's different stuff that was changed in one of these bills to raise the tax rates and such. But if the bill does pass this week, before the session ends at the end of this month, looks like sports gambling will be legalized starting January 1st, 2023.
Look, I read the story, and it just made me angry that even if it passes, we have to wait until the first of the year.
Yeah.
But then I read deeper into the story, and I saw how they made sure that the bill would protect against betting on preschool games. Did you read the story?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, because I really wanted to bet Primrose Preschool versus Goddard Preschool in Roly-Poly. Mm-hmm. I was going to take Goddard plus the 4.5. Why does that have to be in a preschool?
Yeah.
So, like, MGM wasn't going to put a preschool lineup.
I'm taking the blue team.
These people, I hate the bureaucracy and the idiocy that gums up the works here is just staggering to me.
This is something I want to get to on this. I'm wondering, can I talk with MGM? So my girlfriend and I are going to Boxcar for my birthday tomorrow.
Right.
I know we're playing air hockey. I want to put the line at minus 120 for her to beat me in air hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Can I contact MGM to set those lines?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, not if it's preschool.
Okay, but we're adults here at Boxcar.
And
I think we should be able to set that line.
I can't confirm or deny.
I want to put my skee ball score. I want to put the over under at 305.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Straight ahead or you bank it off the side?
I try to go straight ahead. Just go for that 50.
Keep
hammering that 50.
Now, I grew up playing skee ball.
Yeah.
I've always been a bank it off the side guy.
Okay. Like this. Okay. All right, I might
always
going to
bank it off
tomorrow.
The side guy.
But I want to set my over-under at at 305.
Okay.
That's a pretty good number, I'd
like
say.
It.
Again, I just – but why – also as well, it's like, why January 1st? Because you're going to miss the whole football season, which would be the most heavily bet thing there is out there. Moving on. Again, it's frustrating. It's like
– I understand.
Yeah, it's all dumb. Now, I've brought this up in the past, and we'll close out on this, about how Bally Sports and Sinclair Broadcasting is starting their own Bally Sports Plus over-the-top streaming service.
Uh-huh.
So they're actually doing a soft launch starting on Thursday. So 5 cities where they have Major League Baseball OTT rights, Kansas City, Milwaukee, Miami, Detroit, and Tampa Bay. On Thursday, they're going to do a soft launch with this Bally Sports Plus app. They've shifted the price. It initially was supposed to be or projected to be around $23 a month. Well, it looks like they're going to drop it down to $19.99, or you could buy a full year in advance for basically $189.99. So, the big question that's coming out of this still is, sure, I'll be able to watch my local team, but do I get out of market? I wonder, like, what original content am I going to be able to get out there that I don't currently get? Am I able to watch, let's say, for example, living here in North Carolina, here in Raleigh, we can't get Bally Sports Southeast, which shows the Charlotte Hornets. Do I get that? Because I know in Charlotte, you don't get Bally Sports South, where you can watch the Carolina Hurricanes, which is stupid that we can't even watch a team here in the state of North Carolina. So am I able to watch that? Can I watch, let's say I do want to watch, I'm a
let's say I've watched the Carolina Mudcats for years, and there's a guy on the Brewers that played for the Mudcats. Can I watch the Brewers play?
I don't think you'd be able to watch the out of market. And well, then, I realize that we don't have access to Hornets here because we get Hurricanes.
Yeah, and vice versa.
My guess is that you would have access to the Hornets because they're sort of a local team, right? But you wouldn't have access to the Brewers.
Okay.
That you'd have
or the
to,
Bucks. The... Or,
right, you'd have to pay an additional fee to be able to access those. That's just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I think these things would normally work. But I'm not sure. Like, have you read up at all on the Apple deal with MLS?
It's what, 10 years, $250 million a year.
Regardless of the of the cost and all of that.
There's no restrictions,
none.
No blackouts.
So if you subscribe to the MLS package,
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to watch every game.
Yeah.
No local blackouts. You will have access to every single game.
Why isn't everyone doing that?
Like, if you're Major League Soccer, you have to sign an over-the-air network. You have to sign mm-hmm. a deal with an over-the-air network. You can't allow yourself to solely be on a for-pay streaming service. You have to at least have your championship on an over-the-air network. You have to have some games. But this is a great deal. I think there will be a fair number of hardcore MLS fans who will go buy it.
Yeah.
But I don't think enough to, I mean, you're probably talking about, you know, a couple hundred thousand as opposed to maybe getting a million to maybe watch your All-Star game or your MLS Cup, something like that. So I think they need an over-the-air, but a significant deal and a significant investment in sports by Apple, who continues to do that.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff's just going to the streaming services. Like you said, that MLS deal. And people that complain about, and I totally understand the complaints about how Bally Sports doesn't have a deal with either Hulu Plus TV
mm-hmm.
or with YouTube TV. Well, this is the reason why. You know, because you know what they probably had in the works, knowing that, hey, we're going to launch our own platform and you can just pay us directly for it.
Right.
As opposed to going through some other place. But my biggest thing that I will say about this, and I'll close on this, is that if you're not going to put yourself on the other platforms too, how do you reach a casual fan?
Right. That's why you need to be able, you need the big events to be over the air,
mm-hmm.
which means that you need a small package either on ESPN or Fox or NBC, whoever. Doesn't matter where. It would help if it's ESPN, because that's where people go for sports.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
I guess the big story is that the PGA Tour is kind of reconfiguring their schedule for next season. This is definitely a move to combat what LIV Golf is doing. We'll give you some more details on that soon, but stop me if you've heard this before. An 8-event series with limited fields, no cut for a lot of money. Sounds like LIV to me.
Oh, so it sounds like a preschool event I could bet on, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, not until January 1st in the state of North Carolina. I'm so mad that they have made us wait another year. Look, I don't even gamble.
Yeah.
I do not wager. I just feel like you, if you want to, should be allowed to.
Yeah.
It's my feeling. All right, let's play the feud, Dennis.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
Survey says.
$100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you nothing.
All right, I want to thank Hayes Permar for adding to the totals yesterday. He had a 2-for-3 night, won both Stanley Cup Finals plays. He did lose with Shohei Ohtani, much like Dennis does on a nightly basis.
I finally won my Ohtani.
You
one,
did.
And then I got off the bandwagon.
You did, absolutely. And you, did you have, I guess you've stopped betting Juan Soto.
Like, stopped playing.
All right, so where are we going?
I'm going back to Aaron Judge again.
All right, you went to Aaron Judge last night.
I did.
He did not homer last night.
No, he did not. Plus 265 for a home run, Aaron Judge.
I think that's a he is the favorite to homer if you are the Yankees. I'm gonna go to the same game.
Okay.
But I'm going to take Gleyber Torres to hit a home run at plus 475. I'm going to take Torres to do it, the second baseman for the Yankees.
All right.
All right.
I'll take your word on that.
He homered not last game, but two games ago against the Blue Jays. I'm thinking he's back on the home run train tonight.
I don't hate it.
Okay, good. I'm glad you don't.
I don't hate it.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't matter if I did or didn't. I'm going to go WNBA.
Ooh.
For my second. First time I've dabbled in the WNBA.
Okay.
Give me the Atlanta Dream plus 140 over the Dallas Wings. Why? I don't know, but I like the odds.
Oh, I love that. I love the Dallas Dream over the who? The Orlando?
The Dallas Wings.
Dallas Wings?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know who it is. All right, that's awesome. Good for you. All right, I'm going to go to... did you know? You know what started actually already today? There's another match later on.
What's that?
Champions League, the first round of qualifying. Actually, we're not even in the first round of qualifying. We're in like preliminary qualifying. There's like three levels of qualifying after the prelims. It's incredibly confusing. But either way, we've got Levadia. Tallinn from the Estonian league taking on Víkingur Reykjavík from the Icelandic league.
I'm sorry, what are we betting here?
Yeah, exactly. These sides will have to win like 36 matches to advance to the Champions League. But I am going with Levadia Tallinn. Or Tallinn, not Tallinnin, plus 225 to beat Víkingur Reykjavík.
Is this soccer?
This is. It's Champions League qualifying. We're just a long way away from the qualifying process.
And I catch flack when I give an MMA bet or a lacrosse bet.
I have never heard of either of these sides.
Exactly my point.
Never.
And I make a lacrosse bet.
I just rolled dice. And I'm taking the underdog because Víkingur is at plus 120.
All right, well, I'm going to go with teams and sports that people know.
Sure.
Texas A&M takes on Notre Dame College World Series. First pitch is in about 10 minutes.
All right.
I'll take the Aggies plus 105 on the money line over Notre Dame.
The Aggies beat Texas. They eliminated Texas the other day. Notre Dame is the... there's only SEC teams left in Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, that's it. Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Arkansas, and Auburn.
Go Irish.
Okay.
All right. Should we go back to the AHL playoffs? To the Calder Cup?
Yeah, might as well.
Go back to the Calder Cup?
Might as well.
I mean, there's nothing else going on.
Might as well. There's college baseball, Major League Baseball.
I have no interest in Travelers Championship. Look, you know me. If State, ECU, Carolina, Duke, Wake. If we're not in it, I don't care.
Okay.
I do not care.
Okay.
Like, I realize this is going to bother some people. It ain't that good. It's not that good a college product. I need an interest.
Okay.
So, I could not care less about Notre Dame and Texas A&M or Auburn and Arkansas.
Oh, I don't either, but still.
Give me the Chicago Wolves.
Of course.
Minus a goal and a half at plus 170 at the Springfield Thunderbirds. Andrew Podorowski had 4 points in the latest win.
Nice. How many saves did Kochetkov make?
Oh, how many times did Kochetkov like try to beat somebody up?
Did he?
Did you see this?
No.
Oh no, he went after people.
Good. I like that guy. Multiple. The moment he went after Brad Marchand.
He's nuts.
I'm okay with that.
He's a nutcase.
We need a little bit of that. I'm okay with a little bit of a loose screw in my goalie. That's
he's
fine.
Definitely got that covered.
Good.
So, yeah, he
more
like,
of that.
I didn't even think he was bumped, but he just went after somebody. So, good for Piotr. But that series, I believe, is 1-1,
okay,
headed to Springfield for game. And that I think the game is even tomorrow. I don't even think the game is tonight. So
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. So there you go.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.